Blog Talk Radio.
Up to 3 inches of rain or something in my neck of the woods, so this will be awesome.
Well, at least you're talking.
At least, yeah. Well, had I been paying attention to the weather, I'd have started building a friggin' ark last week.
Yeah, I'd heard you guys are getting some pretty bad stuff. So, yeah, it's not here in your local weekly forecast of the Chicago Weather Report, as you're going to start to be hearing a lot once Dennis starts giving me shit about once we start getting snow and everything. Dude,
yes.
I have to say, loving this Indian summer. It is definitely a good one.
Yeah, well, must be nice. Must be nice.
Well, you know what's nice is you live in it almost all year round, so shut the hell up.
Yeah. But, you know, once in a while something happens. You know, hurricane blows up or some dumb shit. And once in a while we even get, I forget what it's called. It's this white stuff that falls and sticks around for a couple hours. Snow. That's it. Snow.
Yeah, prick. It's on its way.
Yeah, and you're probably going to send it, you asswipe.
Yeah, exactly. I'm good at that. So, hey, on a different note, I do want to say congratulations to another season of our friends at Ghost Hunters on their episode again tonight, which is on right now, which I have on mute and DVRing, so... Yeah, love you guys. It was great hanging out with you, but I'm sorry, our show trumps yours.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you can look from across the room. You know, we're radio anyway. We don't do, we're not the visual kind. And there's a reason, and it's mostly because I have a face for radio. So, yeah, I'm good with that. But,
so.
Yeah,
also, I do want to throw a shout out to Bruce Tango for his event this weekend. So it's going to be a really, really nice one from what it's lining up to be and information that I'm getting. talk to Bruce. I'm sending him stuff from the Chicago area, from people around here, and Sarah's got some stuff that has got to me, and it's getting sent out to Bruce. So hopefully that with the raffle tickets and all that stuff that he can sell, you know, each item creates one more ticket, one more opportunity, and it is the Monster Mash Mayhem, Saturday, October 12th. So it is this weekend. He'll be getting his stuff from us, and hopefully it'll go to help out Little Max and the Cancer Foundation for Children's Cancer Research. So real awesome event in that aspect.
Yeah, most definitely. And Bruce has got a heart of gold anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that should be a, I'm kind of upset that I'm not able to get up that way, because that should be a pretty damn good show.
Yeah. Got a lot of big-hearted people there. It's not the first event that they've ever done, and I'm sure it's not going to be the last. So, definitely in the future, I will have to make my way to New Jersey about this time of year and check that one out for sure. Definitely, 100%.
Yes, and let's see, there was something else I wanted to do a shout out on, but I don't remember what the hell it was. Sorry, folks, you'll have to forgive me. I've been playing electrician all day. I discovered something. You don't really need to lick your fingers and touch electrical wires to see if they're live. Apparently, that's only something valid for 9-volt batteries.
Wow. Wow.
That was really... did you have my house bugged or something? Because that sounded exactly like I did when that son of a bitch hit me and about made my nuts pop like popcorn.
I don't know. God damn you. Now I got mental image. That's just not fair.
Oh, that, and there's another point on my side for not being speechless.
Not speechless, yes. More disgusted. I didn't want to say anything because... No, see, there's a difference. I didn't want to say anything because I'm trying to beat this image out of my head right now. You sick bastard.
Well, I don't blame you. I'd probably try to beat that image out of my head, too. But, you know, nonetheless, I do have to say, 120 volts is not fun. And, ladies and gentlemen, Orville Redenbacher is not the only one that can pop nearly every kernel in the bag.
And you just had to rephrase, didn't you?
Yeah, just because I knew you would love it so much.
So other than getting electrocuted and having your testicles pop like popcorn, how's your week been so far? How's your hump day going besides? Are they buttered or are they kettle corned? Now I'm going to start feeding into it.
Yeah, see, I can't stand kettle corn, so. Mine's movie theater butter, baby.
Gross. Anyway.
I'm putting all new lights and, like, my basement is, like, pretty much this big void. Like, it kind of became the black hole where shit just went in to be stored and never came back out. So it's like, okay, this has got to change, man. I can't stand this. I've got to have decent lighting down there. I've got all the lights right now are on, like, one switch, and there were, like, you know, just two little pull chain lights down there. So I'm running all new wiring, new light sockets, you know, recessed lighting and everything else. But I had a momentary lapse. I got distracted by a phone call. Imagine that. Wired one fixture in, went down to the fixture thinking, okay, I've left the other end of this unwired so I don't have to play with live wires again. You know what the strange part was? Yeah, I kind of watched that because I'd already wired it. So it was live. So, of course, when I grabbed the wires, let's just say there were some vulgarities dispersed.
No, not at all.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't lie to you, man. I was saying things that, no, dagnabbit, and no, poopy. Oh, yeah. It was horrible. That's one of those where you just kind of step, well, I'd say kind of step back. But no, that was shortly after I picked myself up out off my ass after falling off the bucket. There's really not enough room down there. I mean, they're not quite 8-foot ceilings, but they're fairly tall, but not enough room to put up a stepladder, so I'm standing on a 5-gallon bucket. Shortly after toppling off of that, landing on my ass, there were a few of the PG-35 words expressed. I think the strongest of which I think I expressed towards myself, because I called myself a dumbass half a dozen times. Like, you know, as long as I've done this crap, I couldn't believe that I was stupid enough not to go back and check my work after being interrupted. But, yeah, I took a good joke.
You know, okay, and I'm going to get... I'll tie a little bit of science to this show and question it more or less. So you know how, say you're driving in a car or, you know, something just with tires, motorcycle, any form of bus, any form of transportation like that. Your car gets struck by lightning, which is way more than 120, then it'll scare the ever-living crap out of you, but it doesn't actually hit you and affect you.
Correct.
Why is it that standing on a bucket where you're not grounded, do you actually get hit? Why shouldn't it just pass through and try and find an exit like lightning does?
Well, for one, it's only 120 volts. The amperage is much lower.
Yeah.
Two, lightning striking your car, you are grounded. The rubber on the tires is grounding you.
But you're grounded on shoes on a bucket.
But you don't have transmission between the bucket and the ground. I'm standing on a bucket on a concrete slab. It's not like I had a grounding rod driven into the ground or touching, sweet Mother Earth and shoved up my wazoo at the same time.
Well, no, what I'm saying
is... No, I was not grounded.
Even if you're standing on the ground, you're standing on a bucket, you don't have connection to complete that circuit because your body is not grounded at that time, just the same as where the car tire would space it off from it. But...
Well, here's the other difference, though. You're talking about DC current coming from a lightning bolt, versus AC current from electricity.
That's the answer I was looking for. That was just a little test there, brother.
Yeah. You needed the answer. Don't bullshit me.
No, I honestly didn't need the answer. I knew that.
But, yeah, you're dealing with DC voltage. Now, the difference between DC and AC is in the lettering. Do you know what the lettering stands for?
Yeah, direct current, alternating current.
Yay, you win a popsicle.
Do I get a golden star?
Yes, you get a golden star. Yeah, now, I will say one thing. About the only thing that alternated was my head when I became demonic about the time that son of a bitch zapped me so good. Now, I've been hit by electricity numerous times. I change out receptacles on live circuits and et cetera, et cetera. I very seldom ever kill the circuit to work on it. In this case, I didn't have auxiliary lighting, and you know, you really don't want to play in electricity in the dark anyway. It kind of sucks. But, yeah, it might be something I will try to figure out for the future, or just keep my head removed from my ass, therefore I don't take another poke like this.
Well,
at any rate,
next time you're at Home Depot, I'm going to give you a tip right now. Next time you're at Home Depot, they have, like, right by the whole crap area in the front of the store, where they usually put their decorations and have the batteries and stuff like that, they have the Energizer headlamps for $14.95.
Well, here's the funny thing.
Pick one of those up and you're good.
Here's the funny thing. I actually had one that clips on the bill of my hat. It was in my truck when they broke in and stole all my shit. A cheap bastard even stole that. So, yeah, that didn't exactly thrill me much. But at any rate, that's another thing that I'll be buying. And speaking of which, when I use the headlamp, when I do go on investigations and whatnot, you know, like I said, it clips under the bill of my hat. And we'll probably talk about it shortly because we've got Rhonda and Steve from a local team here in Richmond tonight from Transcend Paranormal calling in. And I'll probably mention it to them and see what their opinion is. But when I use the headlamp or the little hat light doing investigations, then I usually use the green lights on it. What's your opinion on it, Matt?
Well, green will definitely work. I have, you know, I can't leave anything alone. Mark and I actually modify one and put the LED IR lights in one for extra. It worked great when we bought the glasses that have the camera and the audio in them. And we switched, trust me, that is microscopic surgery to switch that to an IR camera, but we figured out how to do it. And so Mark was wearing them, had the shameless plug Energizer light on his head with the IR bulbs in it, and everywhere he looked was IR illuminated on his face, so really didn't, it was complete point of view. And a couple times that we tried it, and it seemed to work pretty well. Except the processor in the camera takes a little bit longer to pick up. And depending on what kind of emission it is, sometimes it picks up in night vision, sometimes it doesn't. So, kind of on the fence on that one. I don't know. I'd have to try it.
Yeah, I like the green, but, yeah, the IR is what I actually had in the truck that they stole. Now, I had just mentioned that we have Steve and Rhonda from Transcend Paranormal joining us tonight. I actually have them calling in right now, so they will be joining us momentarily as soon as I get the board to cooperate. They should be in with us now. Steve,
and a real quick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's real quick, Matt?
Oh, no, I was going to say real quick. You know who else we have to say hi to?
I don't know. Say.
The one that's on the board.
Oh, yeah. Well,
hi, Naomi.
All right, and we should also have Rhonda in with us.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, doing good. How are you?
Wonderful dear. All right, just so you know the difference in the voices, I'm Dennis, Matt's the other one. Say hi, Matt.
Yes, hello. I'm the one who doesn't sound like we should be talking about cowboy boots, even though I am from the South myself, so I can always poke fun at Dennis about it.
Now, see,
I'm not cowboy boots.
See?
What?
Go ahead, Matt. Talk shit. Keep in mind, they're from right here local. You'll be back down this way, and I've got at least two people on my back to help me kick your ass.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine. It's not directed towards you two. It's directed towards Dennis. Because we've talked about this numerous times, and I always give him shit because I'm from Houston, which is way farther south than where he's from. I just happen to lose my accent.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
that's
I was gonna
because
say
you lost
from
your mind
Houston.
And went north.
You know what does happen though is when I am like when I was down by Dennis and Richmond and even out in Pennsylvania, Dennis, I don't think he noticed it, but like even a lot of people in Pennsylvania have a little more of a southern drawl. I pick up on it quick and I kind of get right back into it and it takes about a week for it to go away. I don't know how that happens, but yeah, it does happen.
This is true.
What's so, the best accent to have?
Not a thing wrong with it. I'll tell you what. I actually have a recording of Matt's southern drawl from when we were at Fairfest.
No.
So, Steve, Rhonda, you're from Transcend Paranormal. Feel free to tell us a little bit about the organization. Tell us about your group.
Go for it, Steve.
Gee, thanks. a paranormal group, team, I should say, out of Richmond, Virginia. We have traveled a pretty extensive. We've been up Northern Virginia to Tennessee, a number of other locations.
West Virginia.
Yes, we've been to West Virginia. Our team, I want to say we're about 10 members now. We just like to have fun and, investigate.
Now, do you usually take, like, all 10 members with you to investigations? Or, I mean, do you do just, do you do the residentials?
Residential. When we do residential cases, we start off, we'll be two or three of us to go and do a client interview and, sit there and talk with the client. And if we see we have anything that we need to go back for, then depending on how big the location is and, what we think, then most of the time we're not going to take all 10, but might take 5 or 6. Also, it just depends on how big it is. Like, if we go in there, we did a private case not too long ago, and, you turn around and you've seen everything. So you don't need to take a lot of people and have all this contamination and people talking and whispering and creaking. So, a lot of the time, to answer your question, just private investigations. We don't take everybody. But if we go, we go to St. Albans, we took everybody. Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, we'll take everybody. But,
Okay. How long have you all been investigating?
Our team has been together, I want to say for 2 years. We're almost on 3 years coming up here in November. We've investigated together prior in other groups in Richmond. I would say total probably about 5 years, but for our specific team, about 3.
So the two of you have investigated together for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a we've got a few of our members that have known each other for the full duration, but we do recruit and we've got some newer members that. I haven't been around as long. We also have part-time members that, don't always make it to everything and, they'll come when they can. So.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much common.
How many were in the core when you started the team?
When we first started the team, there were Rhonda, Dorothy, I want to say about 5 of us. So we tried to keep it pretty small. We came from a group of about 300 members, and it's just hard trying to
It was like a hobby for it was like a hobby for some people. And the way I got into the paranormal is I've always been interested in the paranormal, always. You know, the ghost stories and, you know, all that fun stuff. And, you know, I grew up in the South and still do, but, you know, you've always got the, you know, the Civil War and the Indians and all that ties to the land. And I do believe there was something at my mom and dad's old house. And, I mean, I would lay in bed when I was a little kid and hear things walking up and down the hallway, and of course, there'd be nobody there because, you know, my mom and dad were sleeping. And I've always just been intrigued by all that. And so once I found somebody who, you know, did ghost stuff too, and I thought it was awesome. So when I first started it, you know, I didn't have anything. I was just going blindside, and that was pretty much almost 7 years ago. And you know, just walked around with a digital recorder and a camera, and that was about it. And then, you know, once I went off with a couple other people who is in our group now, is Dorothy, and we had did the Bird Theater, and or the Bird, no, the Bird, not the Bird Theater, I'm sorry, the Poe Museum in Richmond, and they had a ghost box. And the first time I ever heard my name across the ghost box, I was sold. So they tease me because I always have to buy every single new piece of equipment I see. And then I keep it for a little bit, and then I just stick with my tried and true. Because I've had, you know, all the you know, RT, EVP, and all, you know, all the fun stuff. And I'm like, you know, I just end up selling it and just go back to my normal stuff. I don't even remember what the question was.
So, okay, let me. I need to digress back to this real quick. Who the hell has 300 like members? That's
like,
what the question was.
So it's kind of like it's a meetup group. Do you know like meetup.com?
That's a convention. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, pretty much. And so
I've never done anything with them. You know, I joined the meetups, and, you know, it's fun to go back and read. And basically, if you go back and look at it, they get together and do it as like a little daytime adventure. If you were to look at them, some of them, and each one is different. But I've never been to any of those, so I'm not sure that how that really goes.
Yeah, given that it's meetup, that makes sense. But that's not like a team. That's more of a, you know, just a big group.
Yeah.
It's
kind of like doing a group passage or a group tour through, you know, St. Albans or something like that. Okay, I understand now.
They schedule things like, you know, going out to different places and everything like that. But, you know, you'd always get different people every time. So it wouldn't be, you know, the same, you know, 20, 30 people. Not all 300 would show up, but it'd always be, you know, the different people. And you don't know what type of experience that they would have, and you don't know what gear they'd be bringing. So, you know, we diverted off. We still interact with them, you know, with nothing against them. We just, you know, we needed a smaller group that we could really focus and investigate and get to know each other, you know, and really work on what we wanted to bring to the group and the team and, you know, be able to rely on each other.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, I can depend on, you know, Rhonda for this aspect of it and et cetera, et cetera. And know
exactly.
That she'll be there to be dependent on instead of, you know, get 300 different people and never know who the hell's showing up.
Yep. So that's kind of why we took a little bit of a different path. Like I said, we still interact with them, and we've got some good friends that, you know, are part of that group, but we just wanted something where we had a more specified group, and we knew who was going to be coming and who we were working with, and, you know, what type of experience that they had.
Right. Well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, become a team instead of, you know, just a, I guess, more of a hobby group. Now,
Rhonda, you said that you had activity in your parents' old house when you were growing up. Have you had the opportunity to go back to that location and see what was going on?
Well, they moved probably, what's that, it was 2 years ago they moved. And I haven't lived there, probably like 10 years prior. So, I mean, I didn't have anything to do, but, I mean, I would lay in bed and, you know, my daughter at the time, she was young, and she would always run into my room and tell me that there was somebody in her room. And, I mean, I remember when, you know, I was laying in bed, well, on my sister's bed, because everything usually happened towards the back of the house. But, I mean, the house was built for my mom and dad, so, I mean, if it was anything, it was just tied to the land, because when my dad was little and, you know, he grew up on the same land, like his mom and dad's house were on the same property, and they would find, you know, arrowheads, and they found, you know, Civil War bullets and found all kinds of stuff on the property. So I don't really know what was there. I know there was something there because I would hear it all the time. And even right before I moved out, I would in my room and I heard something in the kitchen, like going to the drawers and the silverware, and I wasn't asleep, and I got up, and I of course, you know, and I do ghost hunting, but then I'm scared of my own shadow, so I kind of peered out the window, I like peered out the door, and there was nothing out there, so I was like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe I'm experiencing, I don't know, who knows, and then telling my sister about it, and she, you know, she's moved now, and they live in Petersburg, and they live in an old Civil War hospital, so they're, she's always hearing stuff, and plus her husband, he does relic hunting, so he's always bringing in stuff, but I was telling her about it, and they had the same thing happen to them when, like, I'd gone away with my parents for the weekend when I was younger, and they heard the same thing, and then after I heard all the Civil War rattling in the kitchen, probably about a week or so later, I was in my room, and my room was the first room down a long hallway, and it was a one-story house, and I heard, clear as day, I heard a man in the kitchen just yell out, "Hey." And it was a deep voice, and I was like, "Who in the hell is that?" And, you know, my mom and dad were sleeping, and of course, and it was only like, probably not, it wasn't even midnight, it was probably like 10:30, 11 o'clock, and of course, I got up again and peeked out, nobody was there. So, I mean, stuff like that. My daughter said she started seeing things, something in her closet, so, you know, we had to do the whole, you know, go get the crucifix, put over her closet, just to, you know, appease her. And my cousin, you know, at the time, she was telling me, you know, she was a sensitive and she could see things. And so we brought her over and we're walking out in the yard. And we had our two dogs with us. And like I said, we live out in the woods in the country and we're just walking around the yard. And she's like, "Well, there's two Civil War soldiers right there in the field." And as soon as she said that, the two dogs that were with us took off running exactly where she pointed to, and they were barking and growling. Other than that, I don't know what was there, but I mean, I do know that she saw something, and you know, my daughter was terrified of her room, which was my sister's room at the time, and every time we would go in my sister's room, stuff would happen, like something would fall off the counter or. So, look, I don't know what was there, but I know something was there.
So, back to the question, did you ever get the chance to go back to the parents' house with the team and actually
like
investigate?
No, somebody else lives there now, and they put up this huge privacy fence, and I don't know if I'm going to knock and, "Hey, can I go investigate your house? I used to live here when I was little, and used to hear things all the time."
There's something interesting. It'd be kind of funny to watch their reaction, though. What do you mean? Here should. Oh, you know, things that go bump in the night. Oh, well, watch next week. You'll probably be able to come in with the realtor, honey. Get the moving sign. So, how about yourself, Steve? What got you into doing investigations and got you interested?
I had a number of things happen when I was a kid. Really, when I moved to Virginia, that's when I started having things. And I have the typical story of I begged my parents for a Ouija board, ended up getting it for Christmas, started playing with it, and stuff started happening. So that scared the crap out of me for a while.
I find that hard to believe. You played with a spirit board and stuff started happening.
Huh. Yeah. Go,
strange how that works.
Go 10-year-old me. Way to go. Questioning why, and then led me to this.
So it wasn't due to... I know a lot of people, and I've been talking to a lot of people recently now about what got them into it, and I've been looking and doing a lot of research on this, actually. In a loved one's passing or a close friend, you have, my own words, I developed basically a thing called the 10-day theory. If you have somebody who passes away and is a loved one, they usually contact you spiritually or physically within 10 days of their passing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I had it happen when I was younger, what made me start thinking about it. And then when I was going through college and stuff for psychology and all that kind of stuff, they don't talk about that in abnormal psychology or sociology, which is what my two specialties were. But I thought that I could use that in, in an idea or a theory, and kind of test the waters and see, you know, what happens with that, with people's stories, and see how they correlate with what people's beliefs are.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to ask you that question. Have you, and people being paranormal investigators, I always ask them, have you ever had anybody from your family who's passed
that was a while afterwards. That really wasn't the vessel that got me into investigating. However, you know, once I moved to Richmond, I was very close with both of my grandparents before moving here to Virginia. And, I didn't get to see them as often as I, wanted to, obviously. But God only knows. I could be right, I could be wrong. But, I do believe that my grandfather came and visited me after his passing.
How did he appear, though? I'm sorry, Rhonda.
Well,
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
There's a total delay when everybody's talking, so that's why it's such an overlap. So that wasn't a kick to the face, I promise you. Because I want to hear your answer, too.
I'm used to it.
It was actually a silhouette, but I don't know. He was a very tall man. It was a black silhouette, but he was talking. So, I could hear him enough to know that it was him. And it wasn't like anybody else. As far as we know, we don't know if that's just something taking on that form and shape and voice, or if it really is, that loved one. That's kind of what I think of it. It's my take on the whole situation.
And was he the only one that ever contacted you? Of
When I was awake, yes. I mean, you know, I've had dreams of, you know, my grandmothers. But, you know, I don't know if that was, you know, what that was, considering it was on my mind a lot at that time. So it might have just been something that I was, you know, dreaming about because I was thinking about it a lot.
Yeah, and that's a definite possibility. All right, Rhonda, you are now on the chopping block. I'm kidding. No, just...
No, my grandma, we were really close, and she's been gone now a little over 10 years. Yeah, it was 10 years in May. And I've had dreams of her, and, you know, I know they said, you know, sometimes if you have dreams of your loved ones, it's them coming to check on you. But I've had her actually, you know, talk to me in my dreams, and it's just kind of like she's still here. But, I mean, I don't know anything, you know, if that's really her or not, but I can say my son is 5. He was not born when my grandma passed away. And... like I said, me and my grandma were really close, and she's buried out in Matoaka, and I'll go out there every time we go out there, and I'll go and talk to her and say hi, and I always call her Lil. And my son was 2 at the time. He's 5 now. We walked out to the cemetery, and went out there and was talking to Nan, you know, she was my nanny, and I was out there talking to her, and my son, he was just standing there. And then I said, "Come on, buddy, let's get ready to go." And as we were walking, because it was a little country cemetery, and as we were walking, he was holding my hand. He broke free from me. He took my hand and ran back to my grandma's grave. And he kind of like got on his tippy toes, put his arms up, and he tipped his head up with his lips out like he's kissing somebody. And I was kind of looking at him, and I could, you know, of course you get the chills, and you're like, all right. And I was like, "Buddy, what you doing there? Who are you hugging?" And he was like, "Nanny." "You don't know Nanny." And I was like, "Really?" And he, like I said, he's never seen her. So I went home, and when we got home, and I pulled out the picture, and I let him flip through it, and I said, "I want you to show me, you know, who Nanny is." Because I've never talked to him, you know, and I've never talked to him about Nanny, and so he pulls out, you know, he's flipping through the pages, and he pointed right to my grandma. He's like, "That's Nanny," and pointed right to her several times, even to this day. And like I said, he's 5 now. He tells me Nanny comes in his room sometimes and tells him goodnight. We're watching a movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And that was her favorite movie. And me and my son were sitting on the couch, and he got to slapping his knee like my grandma did and was laughing and kept looking up at the stairs. And I was like, "What's so funny?" He was like, "That's Nanny's favorite part." And, I mean, it would make sense if she was hanging around him because, I mean, she loved my daughter and they were like best friends and she never got a chance to meet Joshua. So, I mean, it makes sense that, you know, if she did come back and, you know, be... you know, hang out with Josh. I don't know what they do, but he's always telling me she's around and she's always saying stuff to him. And like the other night, he was telling me she was tickling him in bed because I was like, "What is so funny? Nanny's tickling me." I'm like, "Well, tell Nanny to come and see me sometime. She never comes see me." So, like I said, I don't know what to make of that. And I know we did have something happened not too long ago, but he told me it was a little kid that was in there, and I did feel that. There was something here, and he told me it was a little girl who had come to play with him.
Well, Steve, I'll ask this because that's really interesting, and that kind of ties in with the story you were just saying about, you know, your grandma and your daughter and, or your grandma and your son and all that. But the question, I'm sorry, I said daughter. The one thing I was thinking about is that usually little girls are more susceptible to seeing family members versus, mm-hmm. This is a weird, weird study that I did. Little girls are more susceptible to seeing family members. Little boys are more susceptible to seeing past people who have passed away in the homes. I can't, I mean, obviously there's no way I can verify that, but in, like, in 10 cases that I, 10 cases that I studied on each side that had a family of a boy and a girl, the boy was more susceptible to the past ones in the home. The girls are more susceptible to family members who have passed, and the girls didn't see the family, or the girls didn't see the people who passed away in the home, and the boys didn't see the family members, and that was about an 80% split either direction.
Hmm.
Very weird. Like I said, that was only 10 things, and that was over a span of like of 2 months when I was doing the research and looking into that, and it kind of struck me as really interesting, but it's nothing that I can prove. It's just correlation of information. But Steve, what do you think about how children, like, if you were going in, or say you're coming into my home, let me put it this way. So you're coming into my home and I have two small children, and like, have you ever experienced that where the kids have more stories than the parents do, and then you actually do catch something that will coincide with what the kids' stories were?
We've had a number of cases where, you know, there were children in the homes. A lot of times they're younger children. I want to say we've only had a handful of cases where, you know, the children, you know, were really, you know, willing to talk to us and everything like that. However, I do know that one case that we had, one of the little boys was experiencing things in the house that he was afraid of. And we did actually, you know, get a couple of recordings of, we don't know what it was, but it was a pretty weird EVP. But it coincided with what he was telling his parents, which was pretty interesting. Whereas, you know, they hadn't seen it. They have experienced stuff in the house, but they didn't have the level of experience that the child did. I do think that children are more susceptible. The wording. What the hell?
What was that?
Susceptible.
Excuse my dyslexia here. They're more, you know, open to that because they haven't really been taught that that's not a thing. Like, that's not normal. So I definitely feel like children in general might be, you know, the target of, or, you know, might encounter more activity. Like I said, just because, you know, they don't know the difference. You know, they're not taught that at that time. But we have, you know, like I said, we have had cases where, you know, the kids have had more experiences than the parents did. And I mean, we've even had it with, you know, one of the women was living with her mother, and they were both older, and the daughter still was having more experience, more experiences than the mother. However, you know, there was a lot more tied to that case than just, you know, just age, I think.
Yeah. Do you guys work with anybody who has abilities or no?
At one point we had somebody on our team that, you know, we were able to validate some of the things that she was saying. One of our, you know, first few cases, we had investigated a house where it was a family summer home type of deal, a vacation house, and she didn't have any of that knowledge, any of that information present. She wasn't, you know, she didn't get a tour of the house. She didn't get, you know, the historical, you know, lowdown that the client had, you know, given the rest of the team. And she did pick up on some of the stuff. We did get some EVPs of kids, which was actually pretty interesting. But we have currently on the team, I mean, I feel like once you've been around in the field long enough, you can kind of feel when something's there. I wouldn't say you're a psychic or, you know, anything like that. But, a number of the people on the team can kind of, you know, feel when something's there. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, well, like straight up psychics, no, we don't have anybody.
Dennis, you should go out with them sometime.
I'd love to. Depends on where they're going. You know,
yeah.
I'm kind of a scaredy cat, and I mean, you know, I'm a little social and upped, and, you know, I don't like wearing my Depends in public very often, but, yeah, I'd be happy to go out with them.
No,
so
Dennis,
what did you...
Go ahead.
I was going to ask what their thought on having a abilityed individual with them on an investigation. You know, have you ever had a team member or just a tag along that had abilities and went along?
We actually, one of the times we were at Henricus Historical Park, and I want to say it was at their Halloween event last year. It might have been the year before. And it was two girls who were there. And we branched out after our little, we have to sit in what they call the ordinary. And we are basically sitting there and going over evidence we've got at Henricus and whatnot. So afterwards, there were people who were coming back and do an investigation with us. And I took my group, and it was either one of the two girls, they were sisters, took them to one of the buildings. And we were in there, and we were getting activity, and now all of a sudden, the spirits who are still in this one place, it, from what we have got as far as evidence, it's a woman and her children. I mean, it's like two kids. And for some reason, the woman who lives there does not like Steve. And on my, when you're walkie-talkie, when it was time for us to switch up, and they were coming over to where I was at, and we were going to switch up, the girl who was in my group just started, when she found, you know, when Steve says, I'm coming on over with my group or whatever, she gets to freaking out, and she's crying, and she's scared, and she just does not know what's happening to her. And she is just like, I mean, she was fine, and all of a sudden, as soon as she found out Steve was coming, she just starts crying, and she's like, she's scared, and she doesn't know what to do, and she's like, I've got to get out of here, I've got to get out of here, I don't know what's going on. And so we're like, all right, you know, we close our session out, and we go outside, and she's like, I don't know what happened. She's like, all this emotion came over to me, I was scared for my, like, I had children, and I was scared for them, and I don't know what happened. So to me, I mean, and that's how she found out that she was a sensitive. That just, you know, she said, I've just always brushed it off. You know, I pick up on things, but I just brushed it off. But, you know, with that, she said that was such the biggest strong wave of emotion that came over me out of nowhere. So, yeah, she doesn't do investigations. She just wanted to tag along one night. And she did, and that's what happened to her.
Welcome to finding out you have some abilities.
Yeah.
I think she
ran the opposite way instead of, you know, like embracing it and you maybe exploring it. I think she kind of like, I don't want no parts of this, and I don't think she did anything with it.
Dennis and I had that same conversation and situation also.
Yes.
I actually got yelled at for that one. So did you.
Yeah, I actually got my ass chewed over that. Thank you, Matt.
Well, I thought you missed the underside of the bus, so I had to introduce you back into it.
Yeah, no shit. I definitely got the bus on that one. Matt said that he wasn't sure whether or not he had abilities and whatnot. I threw a test at him, and it was quick and easy. We're sitting on the phone one night, and I said, all right, well, tell me what the hell I'm wearing. And he nailed it, and I said, well, okay, well, that one's pretty bland because that's my typical that's my typical work uniforms and whatnot, so I'll dismiss that one. That's what, tell me what my wife's wearing. And he nailed it. And I went, all right. So where is she sitting? And he nailed it. I said, all right. So I said, at this point, I think you may have some abilities, and, you know, we need to talk to a couple of friends of ours that are strong in their abilities. And he's like, well, I don't know if I want to do anything with it, blah, blah, blah. I got my ass chewed for, quote, unquote, testing someone that doesn't know if they want the ability, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't my position to do that. Yeah, thanks, Matt. He's like, I don't know if I want to continue with it. And I'm like, look, man, you pick one side of the door or the other. You either step through and go, it's about, I have abilities, and you stick with it, or you close the damn door and you walk away forever.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's the best way to deal with it, because you can't keep stepping back and forth through that threshold.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what's some of the best evidence that you've gathered?
We like to base most of our investigating off of a historical, basis. We like to, investigate using, the facts and the history of a location to try and find, if there is paranormal evidence, we can validate it. Instead of, I've been with people that have asked, well, what's your favorite food? What's your favorite color? And it's like, they're not going to be able to, even if you get an answer, you can't find a name, you can't find a person or a date, anything like that. To me, most of our best evidence is the stuff that we can face at a bank, and we can say, hey, we got this name, and this was actually a person that was here, at this time, or some of the EVPs that we've gotten, some that are from, Henrikus Historical Park. I know one of them we were asking about beer. In a preacher's house, one of the preacher's house that's on site there at Henrikus. And back then, in the 17th century, 1611, that sort of time, the preachers would have been drinking wine. And so we got this EVP of, this really irate man, and he's like, beer? Like, we had offended him that we were offering him beer instead of wine. We've also gotten a full-bodied apparition at Henrikus, which was really neat. We've had some of our cameras, from our DVR, we've had them actually, rotate. There was no way, especially the angle that it was rotating, and, it had sat there all night, and then all of a sudden it just moved. We've gotten a lot of cool stuff.
I love my EVPs. We did a private case one time, and there was she was a young girl, and stuff had happened. Of course, she had a young kid in the house, and she was really young. She was like in her, 20, 21, and an old lady had died and left her this house. It was like her grandma's friend, and she assumed it was the grandma's friend who had come back and was, taking care of the baby, because she told us some stuff that, the baby was in the bassinet or the pass and play, and that little wind-up mobile had stopped, but you have to wind it up, and baby started crying, and she's like, all right, I'm coming, and then they started winding up, and it was playing again, and so she was like, well, I think it's the grandma's son who's come back, and, we go there, and we're doing a ghost session in the basement, and did not hear it at the time. And she was like, "Oh, by the way, I found some really old war letters in the basement." And you know, I'm thinking, "Old? Ooh, what's this?" But it was, you know, like Vietnam. So it was letters from Vietnam, and it was from a woman who's a soldier. Not sure if the soldier ever got those letters. I was reading them out loud, and as I am reading them, and I go and I said, "Well, are you the lady who's helping Catherine with the baby?" And I did not hear it at the time, and we got a response, and it was on the ghost box, and it was over the ghost box. And it was a man, and he said, "Fuck you." And just like that, did not hear it at the time. And then you hear me not even a minute later, you know, I said, "So, you know, what's your name? Can you tell me, you know, who you are? Can you tell me what your name is?" And then he kind of got a little bit more verbal. He said, and he, you know, he spaced it out just like that. He said, "I said, fuck you." That was pretty neat, and we did Jenny Wade House, and I wasn't investigating yet. I had my recorder going, we were setting up, and you go back and listen, and there is a man, and it was no man beside me at the time. It was me and another girl, and there is a man talking to me, and he's like got this really inquisitive voice, and he's like, "Can you see me?" And of course I ignored him because I couldn't see him and I couldn't hear him at the time. And that was class A. I mean, that was just like he was right there beside me, which he probably was, and I didn't know. And I mean, I could go on and on with some of the, you know, really good EVPs we got. Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, we heard an audible baby crying all the way down where the old, or not the orphanage, where the, gosh, where do they keep the babies? in a hospital.
The nursery ward?
A nursery. Like the original nursery down the hallway. You hear this baby crying after we had done a sound experiment through the microphone system in the hospital, and they had done a sound experiment where you actually heard, you know, they had recorded hospital sounds of a patient coding and brought them back, and they did the, you could hear everything, you know, because they actually recorded something, and, you know, you heard them code this, code that, and then came back down to the nurse's station, and everybody was getting up, getting ready to go to the next thing, and you hear this baby crying all the way down at the end of the hallway, and there's no baby there. There's nothing. I mean, there was nobody down there. And there was, you know, there's no way, and it could have been planted because, I mean, we actually walked down there to where it was, and there's nothing there. So that was pretty interesting. I mean, gosh, I could go on and on. We'd be on until 2 a.m. if I said everything that I thought was interesting.
One of my favorite EVPs, and this will be the last one, not to hold everybody up, but one of my favorite ones is, like Rhonda said earlier, she's scared of her own shadow. And so me and one of the other investigators like to mess with her a lot, you know, just to keep a little, you know, fun and upbeat. But we
were
going to
talk about the mama.
Yes, we were at a private location, and that movie, you know, that movie Mama that just came out, you know, a little while ago. me and one of our other investigators were, saying Mama, Mama, and Rhonda's getting all freaked out and everything. And then we, you know, we eventually stop, and she leaves the building. It was a really tiny, tiny house, and it's just me and him in there now. And, I mean, clear as day, and we didn't hear it, but, you know, in the recording, you hear it, and it's just this little girl, and it goes, Mama? And, I mean, that's something. That sends, you know, just chills down your spine as soon as you hear that. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, I think the let's see, I've got a question. Yeah, I've got a question in the chat room. That reminds me, are either one of you in chat right now?
I am not. I need a link for that.
I mean the Blog Talk Radio chat. The link that you came into to get to the program actually will give you a drop to chat on the very bottom of the screen. And it says, can you ask them if the Hanover Tavern serves alcohol, and was it a courthouse?
The Hanover Tavern, there is a restaurant there. They do serve alcohol currently, and, you know, it was a tavern, so they did serve alcohol back, you know, back when it was operational. The tavern itself was not used as, from what I understand, and I'm not a entire, you know, I'm not a, you know, history buff on the tavern. However, there is a courthouse across the street that was used, you know, for law. For Patrick Henry, he actually practiced law there. But the tavern itself, from what I know, was not used as a courthouse. So, you know, there was nobody practicing law there.
All right. Yeah, that one coming from, like I said, it's in the chat. Comes in from Canadian Ross. So, by the way, you are on an international radio program. let's see. I will try to. Let's see if I can remember how to throw a link back in here. And I will send you a link so you can join us in chat. There's usually ever only a couple of people in chat, so it's usually easier. Ross is always one of them, which I don't know why Ross doesn't manage to just join us on air one time. I may have to talk to him about that. Let's see. Where the hell am I at? But, so there is a...
Oh, Ross. Ross, you are always, always welcome.
Oh, most definitely. Like I said, we may have to see about getting him to join us on air one time just to see what the hell. He joins us virtually every week, and his name in chat is Canadian Ross, so I'm assuming he's in Canada. That would be a pretty good assumption, I'm hoping. Otherwise, I just look like a dumbass.
You probably look like a dumbass. He's... He's like 2 doors down from you, but he's from Canada.
But, yeah, at any rate, so you guys have done, like, overnight investigations at Hanover Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
Decent evidence come out of there?
I would say yes. We've only been there, what, 4 times? A lot of times what we find is when we go to a location and we continue going back and going back, it's kind of like building a relationship. A lot of the places that we've gone, you know, where we go back consecutively, we find that we keep getting, you know, more and more out of the location in terms of, like, EVPs or, you know, just different things. The last time that we were there, we got some really cool stuff. I would definitely say, yeah, it's a pretty active place. Now,
yeah, one of the first times we went... Oh, go. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, one of the first times we did go there, in the actual theater where they do plays, one of our investigators, he's like a really big history guy, was saying it looks like it, everything, the way it's set up, it was like, he said, to me it looks like it was like an old slave, like a little slave house or whatnot. So one of the first times, probably I think the second time we were there, and I was in the auditorium, and we were doing a ghost box session, and over the ghost box, it's not playing through the radio channels. It's over. So, I mean, it's like a EVP, and it's great. And you hear it's a lady, and she sounds very panicked, and she's basically screaming to get her out of there. I know part of it caught on fire when it was first built back in, what, the 1600s? Was it the 1600s or 1700s? Part of it did catch on fire. I mean, I've tried to ask her more questions, and I haven't got a response since. But that was pretty intense, because she's basically screaming for help to get her out of there. And we get a lot of activity in that particular auditorium. We see a lot of shadow. You know, like, you feel like you're being watched. And, I mean, we actually got breaks in the laser lights last time we were there. And you just know that there's somebody there. And they're just watching. And we've, you know, the EVPs we've gotten there, they're getting more. It's like, the more we go, the more they know that they can interact with us. So, I mean, kind of like an untapped resource almost, because nobody had really investigated there before. And now that we're going, and they're like, oh, wait a minute, if we do this, they can hear us this way. So, I mean, if there is something there, which I do believe there is, it, you know, they're becoming more and more familiar how to do stuff. So the more you go, the more evidence we get. And same thing that happened at Henricus when we first started going there, you know, you were getting, you know, little pieces here and there. And now it's like when we go there now, I mean, you just, some of the stuff you come out of there with now is just really unbelievable. The old preacher's house, and I can't say it's the preacher, I don't know. I know we were reading from the Bible in there one night, and all of our K2s, and we didn't have any, there's no electricity in there, and all of our K2s were hitting red, and you have an EVP of a man calling us evildoers, and we, you know, we asked him, are we the evildoers? And, I mean, just as loud as he said, he's like, yes. So, I mean, it's just, you know, the more and more you go, the more activity you get. We were in the jail at Hanover, was it 2 weekends ago, and I had a man in there basically cuss us out, tell us to either get the F out of there or shut the F up. So we get not a nice people a lot of times.
Well, yeah, trust me, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, not far from you guys at all. Dennis has a best friend who always calls him an effer.
I'll say it out loud.
Well, I've got a location on the south side that I've gone to. I kind of use it as my team's training grounds at this point. And I've got one room in this location that every single time I go in there. Now, the rest of my team went in one night, and they didn't get shit. I went back in with them. I had waited to hit the radio program real quick, went back in that room and got called an effer after they had gotten nothing. Well, that was like the third time that I was in that room doing EVPs and whatnot, and every single time I get called an effer. The second time I was in that room, I actually got choked and called an effort. The EVP that I caught was actually choked that fucker.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I felt the pressure on my throat. I started coughing my ass off, and then you hear that same voice hollers, get a grip. So,
I love right there.
Again?
Yeah, I've never, the only physical I've ever had, we were at Graffiti House, and we were upstairs doing a sound experiment, and I got poked in the middle of my back, and, you know, of course, I thought it was, because there was hornets on the front porch, so I thought it was hornets, and there's an EVP of a man going, I just tickled her, and as I was presenting that to the historical, their, you know, the overseer of the graffiti, and they said that interesting because at the time, you know, Civil War times, poke didn't mean, you know, to poke you. Poke, when they poked you, you know, it said I just tickled her, and that meant they poked at you. And that's what they had said that same night. Me, big being, you know, big brave ghost hunter that I am, as I'm walking out of the graffiti house at 3 a.m. And that was the first night we were there, and, you know, all kinds of stuff had happened that night. And so, you know, when I've got a group of people around me, I'm pretty much, to ghost, I'm fearless. Now, as I'm walking out the graffiti house and I'm walking to my car to get, put my stuff in the car, something at the end of the ramps kind of, you know there was something there, and there was like a presence there, and I just kind of stopped and looked up, and there was nobody there. You knew there was somebody there, and he was actually talking to me. I heard the words. I couldn't make anything out, and instead of sitting there, you know, listening and, I just ran in there screaming, there's somebody outside. And he's probably like, screw that bitch, I'm never talking to her again, because that has never happened again. As many times as we've gone back there, he has never, ever tried to talk to me again. He's going to be like, screw her, she's crazy.
Yeah. Now, you know, we were talking about psychics just a moment ago. I think this one's for Rhonda. I've got a female that's telling me say hello to my cousin. I want to say her name is Leanne. Do you have a cousin named Leanne?
I do.
Okay. Well, I get that she's still living. She's not passed. But
no,
I'm getting,
she's not.
Okay. Well, I'm
I mean,
she is
living. She's not passed.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm getting her, like, her energy telling me to tell you hello, and that I'm supposed to be nice to you.
Yeah, be nice to me.
Okay.
Don't call her in the path to Stevens, Em. Don't get on their little thing.
Yeah, I just wanted to pass that along. That was just the energy that I was getting. Well, that and, you know, she typed it in the chat, too.
Oh, Liam's in chat?
Yeah, Leanne is in chat. Now, one thing that, and knowing that you're Leanne's cousin, you know, her husband, well, he accompanied me to this location on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing just the two of us. If you ever want to see anything funny as hell, I would have to say having a disembodied male voice at the other end of a hallway when you know damn well the two of you have done a full sweep on the building to, you know, clear the building, and then watch his reaction when you get a disembodied male voice at the other end of the building talking. His eyes got huge. He looked at me, and he's like, what the fuck was that? You hear that? Yeah, I heard it. Someone's in the building. No, there's nobody in the building. He's like, dude, I heard him. Yeah, I know. We got to go find them. And off we go. But it was funny as hell to watch his reaction the first time that I let him deal with, you know, the first time that we did an investigation, and he went through with me on the evidence and we reviewed, caught some awesome EVPs and whatnot. He was like, oh, man, that is incredible. So he's definitely hooked.
Oh, I know. You get hooked. I mean, we were at the Bird Theater, and that's when I really, really got hooked. And probably, and it was before I was with Steve and them. It was just me and a girlfriend of mine. And, you know, that's when I was starting to get really into it. And we were at the Bird, and Todd, who is, the GM, he was saying, we know there's rumors that there's a little girl downstairs in the bathroom, and that's my thing. I like the kids, and I mean, I will go to an investigation if I find out there's a kid there. I mean, I come prepared. I'm like an arsenal of toys if I find any evidence of a kid. So I'm at the Bird, and I'm in the bathroom, It's one of the bathrooms downstairs.
You have an arsenal of toys, and you're in the bathroom.
That's
were
not
you
it.
In, never mind. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind.
That's a Monday show.
I come prepared. No, if you go in the bird, it's like before you get to the actual toilet, there's like a little open floor. And so we were sitting there, and I've got the ball and trying to get her to go to it. And I was getting late, and I'm like, nothing here. And there was a camera crew coming through from Pennsylvania, and they just happened to be coming through. And they're like, oh, cool, do you mind if we bring our equipment and, like, film you? And, you know, Todd, he was like, yeah, come on in, that's fine. When they came back, I got a little hand grab my, let's see, my right arm, my right forearm. You felt her hand. I started shivering. I mean, my teeth were chattering. I couldn't get warm. She would not let me go. You could feel the pressure getting tighter, like when they would take their boom mic and they were pushing it in there farther to try to get more sound. You felt her grip on your forearm tighter and tighter. And I finally was like, you know, after they left, you still felt her. And I mean, when they took the temperature gun, the side of me that she was on was in the low 60s. The other side of me was in, you know, like the mid 80s. And I finally was like, honey, you have got to let go. I will come back. I will come and see you, but you've got to let me go. And she finally let me go. And I do have an EVP of her voice. Another time we went back and I asked her, can I take your picture? And you hear a little girl going, picture? And I said, yeah, let me take your picture. And you took it, and then you hear her go, can you see me? And I was like, I mean, this is over the ghost box. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Let me see if I can see you. And I didn't see anything. But, I do have her voice, and I do have, you know, what I think. It felt like a child's hand to me. And that was pretty cool. But, yeah, I do like my kids.
Yeah, that would definitely be cool to experience. The location on the south side, I've got to keep it quiet because I've been, you know, it's under pretty much gag orders. I can't find any real history on anything there. I'll just leave it as it's an office building, and there are hundreds of dead on the property. We'll leave it at that. So think about what would be around an office building with hundreds of dead. And it's just a fantastic location. I did a remodel on the office building is how I discovered it. And I had things moving while I was working in the building. I had footsteps that I could not deny were right above me in a locked down building. So, you know, one of these times I'll have to I'll see if you guys are available, and we'll run down there. But, you know, like I said, it definitely has to stay on the DL. The way it was expressed to me was, I don't want you to let any of the employees know a damn thing you find, because the last thing I need is employees quitting because they're in a haunted building. But, yeah, I can understand that. But, now, I try to keep this on the DL also. Rhonda, you know what Graham's employment is, so two of the other team members are the same way, or the same occupation. And to have three of them side by side when you get a fantastic Class A EVP. I just did a burst session. Two of them had never done an investigation before. I'm setting all the toys and such up on the table, and I'm, this is what this is for, and this is what that's for. And from across the room, we hear like three or four knocks on the wall, and I've got everybody standing in front of me, and I'm like, okay, that was not one of us. No one's near the wall. Somebody hit record right now. So two recorders fired up. I said, all right, well, you've already made your presence known. We heard you knock. Is there anybody here that wants to talk to us? Feel free to, you know, just step forward and say hello. And I've got a beautiful EVP. I'm not sure if you want to classify crap as crap, class A, class B, whatever. It's a just wonderful EVP that just simply says hello. And by the way, Howard, I'm Dennis. I'm the one that's talking. But just a quick burst session. I gave it, 10, 15 seconds after I asked for him to say hello. I rewound and played, and sure enough, there it is. Well, one of the others, the first-time investigator with me, his eyes get really big, and he looks and he goes, what the fuck was that? And I busted up laughing. I don't think that's what we're here for. It's like, who the hell said that? I don't know. They didn't leave their ID when they said it, did they? That is the coolest damn thing I've ever heard. This is going to be a blast. Yeah, well, he's the only one that is not pale on my team. We're all Caucasians, and he's part Puerto Rican. Well, I sent him and one other investigator into general manager's office. There's rumor, some of the stories that I had gotten was that the general manager on several occasions had seen a large gentleman sitting in her conference table, and she'd do a double take as she walked to the door and he'd be gone. Well, I sent the two of them in there, and I had set a static recorder on the top of the bookcase. So when you walk in the door, it's to your left about 4 or 5 feet. They walked in the door, and CPR Graham actually started his recorder, and he said, all right, well, this is Graham and Juan. We're in the general manager's office. Is there anybody in here? And the static recorder that I set up, just as plain as day, and I'm sorry if I offend anybody, but this is actually what the EVP said, hate niggers. Well, when we did the review, I thought Juan was going to lose his ever-loving mind. Why I got to be that? Just because I'm the darkest son of a bitch on the team, I'm coming back out there and kick his ghosty ass. And I am dying laughing. The rest of the team's got tears running down their face. I mean, if that is not one of the best pieces of evidence for an intelligent haunt, I don't know what to consider it. But it was cool as hell.
Yeah, that would be.
We were. Go ahead.
Some of the light anomalies, just crazy evidence comes out of it.
We were at a fairy plantation in Virginia Beach in 2011, and me and one of the other investigators on our team, we had been told that there apparently was this little this boy that was there. I guess I shouldn't say boy. Apparently he was like a teenager or something. But anyway, he liked to go around the house and just mess with people. He'd just be doing things to you, while you're investigating, just to, mess with the investigators while they're there. And so
like
me
a little
and,
shit with you.
Yeah. And so me and one of the other guys on our team decided that we were going to, see if we could annoy him to the point that he'd start messing with us. So we decided that we were going to dub him Bitch Boy for the night. So We walked around the entire location, trying to call him out. And be like, come here, bitch boy. Where are you, bitch boy? Come on. And eventually, much later in the evening, we're probably an hour from, leaving. And I think you were in the room, Ron, but you had your obelisk.
Oh, yeah. I was there. Laughing my ass off.
We were
going to get thrown out the window.
We were in there, trying to talk to him. We were like, come on, bitch boy, why don't you talk to us? And I mean, clear as day over the damn thing, it says bitch boy. And that's not a word. That's not a word in the dictionary on that device whatsoever. So we all kind of looked at each other like, what the hell?
was also over the ghost box, remember? And he kept calling you a bitch boy. Yeah, like, you don't even know what a bitch boy is.
So finally, you're like, you know, well, you know, what are you going to do about it? What do you want to do? You want to fight? And it says, I think it said over, you know, over the obelisk, it says, go outside or something like that. And we were like, oh, crap. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, Dennis has a good want to fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, if you look up, go on to SoundCloud. Again, this is in that one room that I always get called a fucker in. You know, I told you about the other team member and I going in there after the rest of the team had been there, and then I went down. I hadn't been with the team in that room yet, and I hadn't even been in that room yet. I was on the radio sharing the hello. And myself and one of the team members went back in that room. I sent, and this is when I sent CPR Graham and CPR Juan off to the manager's office. We stepped into that room. I set a recorder down. The other team member just starts out and he goes, well, you know, you didn't do shit while we were in here earlier. We didn't even get a blip on a K2. Well, Dennis is here now. What do you want to say? Beautiful EVP, fucker. I want to fight. Every time. But, yeah, go to SoundCloud. Look up CPR Dennis. And I've got a few of them uploaded to my SoundCloud. I think, matter of fact, I've got one on there from a private residence that we did up in, gosh, I can't think of the name of it. I'd have to actually look at the EVP because all I did was name it after the location. I never name my EVPs on my files. You know, if it says hello, I don't name it, you know, such and such location, hello. I just name it from the location, number one. Number two, whatever. And that way it doesn't influence anybody that I send it to, or if I upload it to SoundCloud, you know, I just go, hey, what are you here? And that's it. But I've got one from up there that is I actually screwed that up and named it Upstairs Voice. So it gives away where it was at in the house, but I didn't give away what he said. And, you know, let's see, there's one to fight, there's Upstairs Voice. I think there's one called How Many. Now, with you two being Richmond locals, are you familiar with the four cemeteries at Evergreen?
Yes.
Oh, yes. We have been there a number of times. That place is, that's something.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten anything, have you ever found the mausoleum?
Yes. Yeah, we've been to the mausoleum a number of times, and it's actually, I mean, that's a really cool place to go, but it's actually, I mean, kind of sad considering, you know, people always are going out there to dump trash. And the last time I was at the mausoleum, somebody had actually, you know how, you know, people have knocked over those tombstones and everything out there.
Right.
I'm familiar. I live 10 minutes away from, or 20 minutes away from Bachelor's Grove.
Mm-hmm. But somebody had knocked out the door to that mausoleum just about entirely. You could actually pretty much get in there, and but caskets have been broken into even further. But we've gotten some really interesting stuff out of there, actually.
Yeah, that was the one I was going to get at. There's on my SoundCloud. There's another one that I named How Many. I didn't have a recorder with me. I had just decided, kind of impromptu, I stopped by one day, beautiful day out, had my daughter in town with me, and I'm like, hey, let's go check this place out. I had posted pictures, and she thought it would be a really cool place to go. We were close by, so we rolled in. I set my phone inside that mausoleum, and I asked, can you tell me how many of you were placed in here? And I've got a pretty good EVP comes back and tells me four. And that was recorded just off the voice recorder on iPhone. And sure enough, you can see that there are four casket locations in there that are actually opened up.
and there's two that are still concrete sealed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, there's serious charges in Canada, or in Virginia also, Ross, so that's not amazing. But, you know, the cemetery itself has been abandoned for probably close to 20 years, I guess. I mean, you can see headstones 50, 75 feet back in the woods. I didn't even know about it until Graham had introduced me to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the owner, I guess he bought the property originally. It was four business owners that decided they were going to buy the land, and then, you know, they all kind of, you know, backed out, and there was just one guy that bought the entire thing, and he's actually been quoted saying that that was the worst, you know, the worst thing that he's ever done is buying that property. And they don't take care of it. It's pretty sad.
Well, the earliest grave marker I could find out there was like 1901. But, you know, it's been around for a long time. I actually did some research on it. It had passed from a small group that had purchased it, was sold to another, sold to another. They couldn't afford all of it, so they sold 20 acres of it to the city of Richmond, and then they took over the rest. But, I mean, it's just it's a nightmare. Now, the last time I was out there, there was a grave out there that looks like it had just been done within maybe 4 to 6 months. I'm like, who in the hell would have their loved one buried out here when you can't find most of the headstones?
Yeah, and people are actively buried out there. You know, the last time I was there, there was actually, you know, somebody had just, you know, been put in. And I don't know. I mean, it's crazy. There's that, you know, the giant field as soon as you come in.
Right.
Now, I know that there's a group that goes in there and they've been, you know, working on cleaning it up and everything. But, I mean, they're all doing it, you know, for free. You know, everything that they do to clean up there is all out of their own pocket. So there's no way that they're going to be able to, you know, keep it up.
Yeah, it's got to be expensive.
Definitely.
And, you know, it's just crazy, though, the disrespect that's been done. Now, I found some pictures from, I want to say, like, 91. Well, that was the timestamp on them. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, that's when they were actually taken.
Mm-hmm.
But they showed inside that crypt, and you could see a skull over in one corner. And I'm like, wow, really? That's just absolutely ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys had mentioned Graffiti House. Why don't you give us some information on Graffiti House and
Graffiti
what
House.
They
were going to tear it down at one time. It was just a dilapidated building. They were going to tear it down. They didn't, you know, it was basically like, I guess, transients and homeless people. I don't know. I mean, I've never seen any homeless people around there, but maybe back in the day they were trying, you know, they were tearing up some of the stairs and they were burning them. And they were going to tear it down because it was an eyesore. They started trying to do some stuff upstairs, and it was like wallpaper, covered up with wallpaper, and they started taking the wallpaper down. They started noticing there was drawings and signatures, and as they started uncovering it more and more, they traced it back to Union and Confederate soldiers that stayed there. It was a Civil War hospital. And also the Battle of Randy Station was fought there. They were able to identify most of the signatures and match them up with or Confederate. They have preserved all of upstairs. It's a historical marker now. They have been able to preserve it. They don't get as much foot traffic as they would like. They that's one of the reasons they had us out there to begin with the first time. They, you know, they were thinking, if we can find out that there is something here, you know, we can also say, you know, come and see, you know, we've got ghosts here too. So, I mean, we didn't know if there was anything there. We went there and we did get some EVPs. We've gotten things being thrown at us out in the picnic area, you know, rocks and whatnot. I mean, it's a pretty neat place just for the history itself. They, you know, you walk in, they have the whole front parlor is a lot of support facts. A lot of the local people, they will come and donate stuff. They have a wall in the back, and if you have ties to any of the soldiers, you know, Union or Confederate, you can write down your name, what their name was, what your relationship is to them. It's a very, very neat place. They are going to be having their Halloween party to the public there. What is it, October the 26th?
Correct.
It's free. It's to, you know, kids can come. It's just kind of like an open house. They're going to have, you know, different little activities. We're going to be there with all of our gear. We'll have candy for the kids. And we did it last year. And, you know, I just kind of let the kids do what they want. A lot of the kids, they love to play with the, you know, with the toys. And, you know, so, I mean, it's fun. And it's just a really neat place. And it's a really neat way to get their name out there. Because they don't get the foot traffic that they deserve. And it's a really, really awesome place, especially just to see all the signatures and the Civil War porn that is upstairs. I mean, there's actually drawings of the, I guess they got lonely, and they drew, you know, porn, like, you know, like a Confederate doing a nurse, and, you know, maybe, and I think there was a Union soldier doing a horse, and so it's just really neat to see all the different things. There is what they call the Michael Bowman room. They've been actually able to tie him to the room. His signature's upstairs. They have his picture in his room. I like playing with the flashlight a lot, and I did get some flashlight activity, and it was really pertaining to some of the questions I was asking. The board of directors, he's like, I don't believe in any of this. And, you know, he's like, one day I was going to lock up, and these two old ladies showed up on the doorstep, and they wanted to tour it. And he was like, you know, you didn't want to turn them away. So he was upstairs showing them around. And the back room of graffiti upstairs, you know, you just get this, as soon as you walk in, you just get this really heavy feeling. And, I mean, every time you go in there, and it doesn't matter who goes in there, you just get this very heavy, just heavy feeling there. He said he was in there, and he was showing the old ladies. He was trying to get out of there. And he had a collared shirt on, and he said from something or somebody walked up behind him, and he felt his whole collared shirt being pulled down, like somebody coming and screwing with him. And he said the two old ladies had this, like, really weird look on their face, and he's like, did y'all see anybody behind me? And he's like, they're like, no, but your shirt did something really weird. So that he's like, you know, he kind of just dismissed it. And he said, I've always chalked it up to being Michael Bowman messing with me, you know, if it was anybody. So when I was in Michael Bowman room and I was doing a flashlight session, I was by myself because I had to go up there and give them some evidence. So he's like, you know, you can play around for a little bit, just lock up when you leave. So as I was upstairs, and he was like, you know, as I'm asking questions, I didn't know the guy was behind me, and I heard him, like, gasp, like, oh, my God, you know, they're actually getting stuff. And he was like, can you ask him if that's Michael? And a flashlight came on, and I was like, well, you know, it says it is, you know, if this is actually, you know, working. And can you ask him, was he the one who pulled my shirt down? My flashlight didn't come on at all. And then he got freaked out because he was like, I always thought it was Michael. So, yeah, I just get off and I start talking. So y'all just tell me to shut up and get back on track. But, yeah, graffiti house is awesome.
Hey, I do have two DVPs that I, you know what, I'm trying to adjust volume right now because I never know how they come across with people on phones and all that kind of stuff. It's different on an iPhone versus like a Galaxy S3 or something like that, and on air. But I do have a couple that I uploaded to the board, and I think that I may have figured out where the volume is correct that I want your opinion on. And the person listening right now will know because it's from their house, and I have the okay for this. So, if you guys want to hear them, if not, then cool.
Oh, yeah. All right,
well, let's see if this works. All right, I'll play it one more time. I only clipped that, like, for the board, I only clipped the one section. And basically, at that time, I was asking the place that we were at, and we were talking about music and stuff like that, and that's the response that I got. So I wish I could put on repeats. You can hear it a couple times, like three in a row, but I'll see what I can do. Yeah,
I hear talking, but I can't make anything out.
Yeah, I can hear something.
Let me put the volume down a little bit.
It's sorry. Two syllables.
Yeah, no, well, it's actually more than that. I can send you the actual raw file. Well, fuck, my motherboard on my computer is down. So, once I get that fixed, I'll be able to send it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I don't normally do this, but I will tell you, like, basically what it's saying is, I was talking about music, I was talking about stuff like that, and the audio clip of the voice, it's fast, and I can't slow it down on the Blog Talk board, but it says, I'm going to play it for them.
Yeah. Did they do
so,
it?
Well, I don't know. I didn't hear it at the time. But I'll try it one more time. So now that you hear, and this is the tempo, I'm going to play it for them. So see if you can pick it up.
You know, I could say, yeah, you know, but then, you know, it's like the suggestive. I do hear that now, but it's so staticky, I guess because of maybe my phone. But, you know, if I was to get the file and upload it and, you know,
kind of
silence all the background.
I thought, I'm like, oh, cool, I'm going to upload these EVPs and it's going to be awesome and we're going to play them live. Well, no, fuck that. No, it sucks. So... I did try this one also, and you know what, I may have to go back and adjust this. I have no idea. Yeah, no, fuck that one. I'm going to have to explain it just the same as I did that one. But... person listening who will name or remain nameless knows what I'm talking about because she's heard him firsthand and knows for a fact of what. Hold on. I think I have a second one of that one, which is. Oh, and by the way, when we do our EVP stuff, I, at least me personally, don't play, no, okay. Yeah, when we do our EVP stuff, I do not, like, edit it in any way. I may enhance, and that's it. I don't filter. I don't normalize. I don't do any of that shit.
Yeah, no. We'll do, generally we don't like to edit it at all either. When I get an EVP, I like to leave it right in the raw. Now, you know, sometimes I might try to clean it up a little bit to, you know, to hear, you know, to see if I can kind of decipher what it's saying. But especially when we're showing it to, like, clients and that sort of thing, it's always raw. It's always, you know, what we heard it as, you know, originally.
Yeah, exactly. I do the same thing. And Matt does the same thing as well. I mean, I'll clean it up myself to verify what I thought I heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll just clip it, copy, and, you know, alter it for myself so I can verify what I think I heard. You know, slow it down, change the hertz rate or whatever. But other than that, the client gets to hear exactly what I recorded.
I think that's the best way to go about it, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'll actually sit with a notepad and just write down, you know, track 4 minutes, 37 seconds, and just make a quick note so I'll remember exactly what it was. And a lot of times I'll play it right off of my recorder for them to hear instead of, you know, then there's no question, well, he couldn't have altered it. It's right on the recording.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you throw your laptop in front of them, they can think, well, you know, maybe he modified it. No, this is exactly what my reporter caught. And, you know. Now,
yeah,
is that a lot of times the untrained ear doesn't really know what the hell they're listening for, so they don't even know, you know, even if it's a fantastic one, they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
On the same lines of what you're saying, you know, you leave it right on your recorder. We definitely try to do, you know, we try to validate as much as we can, especially for EVPs. So, you know, we always, you know, I mean, obviously we're not going to be able to do it every time, but we always try to have a camera running in the room, you know, just videoing so that, you know, people can see that we're not, you know, getting up to the recorder and whispering into it or making some loud, obnoxious noise or, you know, something like that. Because, you know, we're all for validation, and if there's a way that you can prove that it wasn't you talking or it wasn't you singing or something like that, you know, that, you know, I think that's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, and some of them, now let me ask you this. Matt and I have talked about it numerous times. What is your opinion on, like, you'll be doing EVPs or whatever, and you'll catch like a piano playing in the background. Now, there's no piano there. You know, what do you think is occurring for you? Let's say you hear like 1940s piano music. What do you think is occurring for you 70 years later to get piano played?
I think a lot of the EVPs and, you know, the activity that you get out, you know, the location is a lot of times really what you put in. And sometimes I think it's important. It really depends on the person or, you know, a quality about that person. You know, for example, at Henricus Historical Park, Rondo was saying, there's a certain building that every time I walk into, you know, it doesn't matter if there's me, if there's five other people with me, we won't get a single thing. As soon as I walk out of that place, they'll start picking up EVPs. So I think it's just, you know, the environment, what type of questions you're asking, you know, maybe there's something that your team, you know, is doing that reminds, you know, whatever's there of a certain time period or something like that, that, you know, brings back those memories and brings back, you know, such a strong, you know, tie that, you know, enables them to do something of that. It could also just be, you know, just something residual that just for whatever reason never caught on recording before. But I really think it's, you know, it's a number of different variables, and I think it really depends on the people and, you know, if they're, I guess, some sort of have some relatability, if you will, to, you know, to whatever's there.
Right. Now, you know, I'm not sure if I want to
you know, put it up to, you know, stone tape theory, you know, granite walls or, you know, anything like that. But I think it's just a matter of there's got to be a, and well, we've, you know, science has been working on it for years. There's got to be a wormhole of some sort that things like that can, I mean, you can actually hear, you know, what was going on at that time. I truly believe that
it puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets up. Fucking. It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets up. Fucking.
What the Dennis?
It, Matt, you are officially banned from the board.
I am fired.
Nobody else is logged in. Nobody else is logged in. I wasn't even looking at the board, so there's no way I could have done that. So just all of a sudden it's like, wait, what the hell? What are you doing, Matt? Stop that shit.
No, that was definitely my fault. That was my fault.
So you hit it?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it on the board
quick.
And it's not lit up showing. But, okay, we've got like 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Any plugs you guys want to throw out, just go ahead and do it.
Awesome.
In the last couple of minutes, we got live before we go into archive.
All right. First thing. We've got Things That Go Bump in the Night at Henricus Historical Park on October 17th and 18th. I believe the price, it's $8 a ticket, and that's all that money is going straight to Henricus for them to, you know, keep everything up and running for them. And I know they're building a new church there on the location on site, so that's all going to benefit them. On October 26th, we are at Graffiti House for Spirits of the Graffiti House. That's the Halloween party. It's free to the public. They're going to get free tours. They'll have lots of candy. They're going to give, you know, we'll be there. So we're going to have our gear and our equipment, a number, you know, some of the evidence that we've got there. They also have a fire that they normally have going out back if the weather's nice. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. They tell, you know, ghost stories around the fire. On November 9th, we will be at Hanover Tavern. We're going to be doing a public reveal and investigation there. They're also going to be having dinner for everybody. Now, that is going to be a little bit more money. It depends on really what you guys, you know, what you want to do in terms of, you know, interacting with the event. But that'll be, you know, that's going to be a really good time. Hanover Tavern, you know, we're one of the first teams to ever be in there to investigate. So, you know, if you come, if you don't come, you know, it's an awesome place. I definitely suggest checking it out. I just want to say thank you, you guys. You know,
bye.
We really appreciate you guys giving us the opportunity to come on tonight.
Hey, Steve, real quick, Facebook, Twitter, throw them out. You got 58 seconds now.
We were at transcendparanormal.com. If you're, you know, on Facebook, we're facebook.com/transcendparanormal. So that's it.
That be it.
All right.
Well,
go ahead, Dennis.
8 seconds. CPR Matt, CPR Dennis, Facebook, Twitter, Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers, on Facebook and .com. Make sure to catch us again Wednesday, folks. Those that are with us listening, that are dialed in, stay online, and we'll continue into archive. So, all right, go for it, Matt.
Yeah, thank
you,
Sean.
Maybe we get Guns N' Roses to close us out?
Well, live, I don't know where it is on the board now. But we can do this one, and then we'll continue our conversation.
All right, so.
I think. Oh, no, I didn't play. Yeah, I did.
What the hell are you doing now, Matt?
Don't hang up.
Matt, what are you doing? Matt, stay off the board. You're fired. God damn it, it's like a disgruntled employee keeps breaking in through the back door and fucking stuff up. All right, we are now into archive. Now, let's go back to what we were talking about. You know, as far as, you know, the... Let me make sure Matt's staying off the board. I'm going to tape your damn fingers to the desk or something.
By the way, Dennis, that was on purpose. I didn't do that on accident. Guns N' Roses was on accident. That one was on purpose. But no, you had to go and fuck it up.
Well, you didn't tell me. And why are you playing music while we're still doing the program? I'm confused.
Because she wanted to hear Guns N' Roses, but I didn't have that up on the board because it takes me forever and I misplayed audio on my tablet. So I played what was in front of me. And I thought since I had all Southern Boys on, I played fucking country music. But no, I get yelled at for that too.
That's it. Tomorrow morning, I am sending you into the principal's office and you get to pee in a cup.
In the principal's office made you pee?
The only drugs I'm going to have in my system are the ones that I have to have, like Prozac, to still be friends with you.
Aren't you glad I'm able to get you those unlimited prescriptions?
Yeah, I know. Thanks for writing them for me.
You're welcome. Now, the reason that we kept you guys online, we're going to archive. We have 2 hours of allotted live airtime, then it goes into archive. Anybody that actually jumps on, like, you know, Howard caught us late, you can jump in to the same exact link that you logged into to listen to the program to begin with, and you can pull the archive, and you'll actually get this, like, behind-the-scenes extra time.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to continue our conversation regarding, like, EVPs, technology, video, you know, just some of the, you know, more in-depth paranormal investigating stuff that we didn't get to during the show while we were just kind of, you know, touching base randomly here and there. Pretty much everybody considers catching a full-bodied apparition as the Holy Grail. What is your opinion?
I mean, I think it's pretty neat, but I think what I always say is, you know, I haven't had anything walk out of a wall, come up and shake my hand and say hi. And I mean, you can get a picture of whatever. But I feel like the intelligent interaction is really that's it, you know. If you get intelligent interaction with something that you cannot see and you can't, you know, you can't hear, you can't feel, you can't touch. I mean, to me, I feel like that's far more valuable to have an actual conversation instead of just a one-time picture.
Yeah, I've never had a full body apparition, so I mean, I like my personal experiences. I mean, I love my EVPs. That's like, I don't know, especially when it's more personal. I mean, I've gone to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, and I've had the children actually call my name. I've got EVPs where they're actually saying, you know, I think one of them said, read me a story, Rhonda. One of them said, hi, Rhonda, because I've been, how many times have, I think we've been to OSPH like 3 times. So, I have a thing for the kids anyway, and I don't know anything, because I've never got a full body. I've got plenty of personal EVP directed at me. I've got, you know, I've been touched several times, but, you know, different things. I was, like, followed around OSPH by one of the girls who passed away back from the 70s. There were several psychics there at the time, and they actually saw her, and they're like, oh, you got a friend with you. Stuff like that to me. I mean, it'd be cool if you got a full body. I have some pictures of it's on my Facebook page also, too. They're full body. You can make out the figure. It's 2 of them. They're at the end of a hallway down at OSPH. I mean, that's pretty cool, too. But I have no clue. Because I was, like, looking at the news and talking to y'all, and I'm like, what? What's going on?
Hey, Dennis, can you scroll down on the board, since I'm not going to attempt to anymore, because I'm going to play random shit. that I don't mean to play, by the way. Can you scroll down to Terrify? I think it's Skin 'Em Alive.
Terrify. Skin 'Em Alive?
Skin 'Em Alive.
Oh, yes.
This was a ghost box session that Jody did. And her ghost box has been nuts after she didn't really get anything before this. But this, like, blew my mind when I heard it. And I heard it from, like, we hopped in her car when she was up here. That's using me up here on the 26th again for a different event. But we hopped in her car, and she turned on her ghost box, and this dude, Michael, constantly comes through. And there was a couple things she got before this, but it's a shack hack. It's not an SB7. It's not, like, anything like that. But, dude, if you can play that.
Yeah, I'm sitting on it now, waiting on me to finish the lead in on it.
Yeah,
but it's 26 seconds. Bear with it. It's definitely worth hearing, because this one kind of blew me away. So here we go.
Do the other men here bother you?
We will skin you alive.
Oh!
And the impressive part about that, you'll notice it was running through its typical scan and then stopped, and it went dead silent.
Yes!
That is and you can hear their reaction.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy as shit. That's insane.
I have never heard anything like that off a ghost box. And
yeah.
At Farrar School. Wasn't it, Matt?
Yeah, that was that.
That was at Farrar.
Farrar in Iowa.
Yeah, it's in the middle of friggin' nowhere. There's virtually no radio stations that you can receive even in your car. Like, I'm not even sure that FM comes in. It's in the middle of fucking nowhere. But I'm going to play it again and catch the dead silence that comes in.
Do Do the other men here bother you?
And we will skin you alive.
Oh!
Crazy.
That's insane. I would have been like fucking Shaggy and Scooby, and there would have been just an outline of me on the wall. I would have been out.
Yeah, that one was definitely crazy. I was like, what the hell? Really?
Did anything happen? Or, I mean, did anybody like get touched or anything? Or are you just talking shit?
I don't know. I didn't find out all of that, but yeah, that one, I mean, I've never heard a hack do that.
No, that's great.
But I mean, that's definitely one of the best ones that I've ever heard.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They don't drop out. For some reason, the drop out into dead silence. And then it comes through with like a almost British accent. I will skin you alive.
Yeah. You can hear how, you know, the voice changes a little bit.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
That, I have to say that's pretty awesome. I mean.
Yeah, that's great. See,
well,
I get off
horrible.
On stuff like that. I love stuff like that.
It's horrible. If in fact that was the intention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we had the conversation the other week with Bishop Christina Reiki that, you know, she said if they were an asshole in life, they're probably an asshole in death. And to make a comment like that, you know, even if they're, you know, just manipulating the hack shack like that, I would say that was probably an evil son of a bitch in life. If he's threatening or, you know, commenting that he's going to skin you alive.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that one, first time I heard it, I'm like, what the hell, they picked up a radio or a TV program or something. And I'm like, no. And then I found out where they were at, and I'm like, holy shit. But, yeah, I'm going to see if I can get some of the ones that I've got on SoundCloud uploaded to my board. Because I haven't really screwed with the board here for the program a whole lot. Now, I got a text message from Naomi that's also, she's called in and still listening. And one of the things that you said, Steve, was that you had never seen anything walk out of the wall or walk into the wall or, you know, come out and shake your hand or anything like that.
Yeah.
Her daughter had an instance at high school. Now, I think her daughter has some abilities and is on the way to having some very strong abilities. Her daughter at high school had a football player walk. I'm not sure if he walked out of the wall or back into the wall, but walked out, scratched her, and turned away and walked away and just disappeared. It was like,
yeah, that to me, that would be like something that, you know, comes out of something that's just completely impossible to do and you know, for, you know, does something. That, to me, you know, is much more of like a Holy Grail-esque type of thing than, you know, just getting a picture of something.
I mean, getting pictures is still cool. You know, catching a shadow somewhere where there shouldn't be a shadow or... You know,
oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean...
I'm in line with Rhonda where I absolutely love getting EVPs, but I prefer intelligent EVPs.
Oh, yeah.
Now, one of the EVPs that I still want to get uploaded is one that I pulled out of that same location I told you I did the remodel on. Well, I'm sitting there myself. Now, it's an active office building, so I go in at like 5 in the evening and I work till, 2, 3, whatever in the morning. And after having shit move and hearing footsteps and I'm hearing voices, I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit down. And it's probably 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting in the front, like, reception area. I set my little Sony recorder down on the table beside me, and I said, all right, I know you're here.
I've heard all the shit you've been doing. I've heard you walking around. Now, come in here and talk to me. How do you like the changes that have been done to the building? And I've got, like, just phenomenal. Sounds like he leaned right into the recorder and just says, great work. Oh, hot damn. It's shit like that that I really love to get. You know, the fucker I want to fight. Stuff like that I absolutely love getting. But it's got to be an intelligent interaction.
We were at Gettysburg at the orphanage, and, like Zach Bagans and all of it, they did that. Well, they've got an autographed picture up there of them, and I remember looking at it, and I was like, oh, there's my boyfriend. And I've got an EVP of a woman going, no, that's Zach. That was funny.
Yeah, it's and I'm sure that, you know, this is a fairly common question. What is the most astounding piece of evidence that you've captured from all the locations that you've done that just made you step back and, like, scratch your head and, you know, get that holy shit reaction?
Let me see.
I think one of the, I don't know. I mean, there's just been so much. And personal experiences have always been crazier, in my opinion. But, you know, that's just, unfortunately, it's nothing you can really validate. I think one of the coolest things was when we were at St. Albans, and we were in the basement in the bowling alley. And the cool thing about St. Albans is that when we were there, there was they had security guards that were patrolling the outside of the building. There were three of them outside at the time, and there was nobody in the building except for our team. And our entire team was down in the bowling alley. And clear as day, we hear walking and what sounds like a door upstairs. And, you know, that's just the coolest thing. And, I mean, we radioed up to the security guys. We were like, hey, are you guys in the building here? And they're like, no, we're outside. And we're like, well, we just heard, like, walking up here and the door closed. Are you sure you guys weren't in here a second ago? Nope, haven't been in there. And we actually had them come in and we all searched the building. I mean, you know, there was nobody in the building. And
yeah, talking about St. Albans, and you're talking about that, probably the oh shit moment is actually walking down the stairs to the bowling alley, and it's just you and another team member, and there is somebody behind you that you can't see, and he is kind of making weird noises behind you, and, you know, it's like, you know, I can't explain how it is. You know, like a deaf person would talk, and they're trying to talk to you. And, I mean, I'm, like, running down the stairs trying to get to the bowling alley because I know there's somebody behind me. And come to find out, there is a deaf person that was killed, and he likes to hang out on the staircase. So that's kind of like the, oh, shit, what the hell just happened? Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, you could hear him with your own ears, and he's trying to communicate with you, and it's exactly how a deaf person would try to talk to you. That, and at Trans-Allegheny, there was a guy that got killed by a couple other inmates. And, you know, they kind of, what did they do? They rammed the metal spikes from their bed through his chest, and they, like, pounced on him, and I mean, he just died a horrendous death. And I mean, there's confirmation. You felt the energy from down at the end of that hall, and you heard it with your own ears, like dragging their feet, like coming at you, and there's nobody down there. That was kind of intense. That's an intense place to begin with. But when you know there's nobody down at the end of the hallway and you hear something steadily getting closer, but they're very loud coming at you and you can't see anything, that tells another, oh, shit. You can't go anywhere, you know, because you're like the person behind you, their room, he had already slammed his door. You know, it was a, I think he had died in that room. I don't know if he killed himself or if he just, I don't know. But I know there was nobody in that room. And after the noises started coming down the hallway, the man who's still in the room behind us, I mean, his door slammed, I mean, with force. And you're just like, what the fuck are you going to do? That was crazy.
I think one of the other really cool EVPs that I guess, you know, just kind of like one of those, like, oh, shit, like, what did we get moments was at St. Albans again. And we were on the tour through the location, and we were up in Jacob's room. And Jacob was a boy that was dropped off at St. Albans. His parents had dropped him off there, and they ended up giving him a room. He had his own room, and he, you know, every night they locked him in it so that, you know, no harm could be done to him. Apparently one night either the security guard let somebody in or the security guard did it, but either way, the next morning Jacob was found dead. And while the security guard was, was talking about this, we actually got an EVP of a little boy that says, "I am Jacob." And, Dennis, I actually just sent you that one, as well as another one that it's about 3 minutes later, and we are walking down the hall from Jacob's room. We're going to some other part of the building, and you hear the same voice say, "Oh, my poor little Jacob." And, I mean, it's crazy because you can hear it clear as day. It's a kid. We don't bring, you know, we generally don't allow anybody under 18 to come and investigate with us unless it's like an event type of thing, like a public thing. But, I mean, it was wicked.
Yeah, that's, I love shit like that. Now, I went ahead and cheated. Howard, I brought your mic hot, so you are unmuted. What is the, now I understand that you're from All Seeing Paranormal, so you get to do the same shit. What's the most prolific holy shit moment that you've had?
Wow. I don't know. It's a good question. I've had a lot of crazy moments in the past 20 years. I would say probably some of the EVPs we've caught from Bell Nemus out in Powhatan. I've actually encountered a lady they called Daphne outside on the porch. That was a full apparition that caught me completely off guard. I would say probably Daphne, yeah. It would probably be her.
In Powhatan?
Yeah, hey, Rhonda.
No.
Uh-oh.
I live in Powhatan.
Wait, Rhonda, trying to encroach on your spot there.
What?
I said Rhonda's trying to encroach on your spot there.
Yeah.
There you
go. The problem is it's owned by.
Before I formed my team, which actually Matt started this. He's actually in Chicago, hence the name Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers.
Yep.
He and I had met just over a year. I'm blaming you. But he and I had met just over a year ago, and I was with another team here in Richmond that they were one of those that was just on the verge of breaking up. You know, nobody was in charge anymore. Nobody was really doing shit. But they had location in Powhatan, since you mentioned it, that the homeowner actually sold his house on a short sale just to get the hell out.
because he couldn't stand what was going on anymore. He said, you know, one more time that my pot and pan rack empties out, I'm probably just burning this son of a bitch to the ground before I even pack anything.
We've had something similar to that. We had a woman that had called us, and she was kind of going through the same thing, like last straw. And before we could even get something scheduled, even for an initial interview, just to come out and meet her, she was like, I'm done. She ended up moving. I mean, it's kind of sad, you know, like some things affected you so much that, you know, you're basically being kicked out of your own home.
Yeah, there's only so much you can take.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're the ones that I got into this for, you know, just to go in and help the family. You know, if little Johnny can't sleep in his own bedroom, well, I want to see why and see if I can help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got into it for. You know, so I've done several private residences and, you know, shit like that. But, you know, being contacted or, you know, having people actually contact you, and especially now with so damn many teams around, when you think about it, within pretty much a 20, 30-mile radius, our three teams exist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and then you had Tri-Pity and the rest of the crew in there, and that's just all together. I think there's 12 teams just in Richmond by itself now, where it used to be just like two or three.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of teams on top of that that kind of like pop up. And I mean, not to be mean or anything, but there's a lot of teams that just have the wrong state of mind going about it. And I've seen groups that pop up and, you know, they're really strong for months, and then all of a sudden they're just completely gone.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of these teams are just like ghost hunters anyway. They're not really paranormal research teams. That's the other part. You know?
Yeah.
And, well, the other part that pisses me off is, and I hate to knock a TV show, you know, I don't have my own, I don't know what work they've put into it to get one, but there is a TV show that's centered around a university that pretty much every damn thing they ever did, oh my God, it's demonic. Oh, bullshit.
No,
just
I know.
Hey, I think that's coming back on the air soon, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's not the Red Blood Sky tour, so yeah, they should be coming back on soon.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah.
Last I knew, Ryan was doing a lot better. Now, I've spoken with people that have worked with him greatly and have actually been to his house, and you know, they're actual friends outside of just what you see on TV. Do you understand why he was out of it for a little while?
Why?
Oh, no, I understand.
Yeah, well, it actually disturbs me because I'm, you know, fairly young, but he was out of it because he was actually battling prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm. Which, I did hear that.
Yeah, you know, so I definitely, you know, I want the best for him. But I'd be surprised. I would definitely be surprised if they did come back.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, a lot of them, you know, like the other team that I was with here, like I said, not only was nobody in charge, they never did follow-ups. And on occasion, the jackasses wouldn't even go back to present their evidence to the client. And I'm like, well, what the hell did we even waste my fuel going there for then?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what's giving us a bad name. That's the groups that are screwing us up right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so at this point, you know, I've got a lot of people that contact me and go, hey, you know, I've got this location or that location. But you don't get very many out-of-the-blue residential requests.
No.
Three out of, huh?
What I've actually been noticing a lot recently is we're having people contacting us, you know, that are requesting help, and they're asking us how much we charge, you know, because they're trying to get a best deal on them. And I think that's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of them charge just to come out and do what I consider to be my preliminary, where I just go out and meet with the client and I do, you know, just preliminary readings and whatnot. And I'm like, really?
That's crazy.
I don't charge for any of it, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did one up in Warsaw. Now, granted, it was, you know, like friends of one of the investigators' family or their family, but, you know, Warsaw, it was a two-hour drive out. Now, that one was pretty freaky. When you go through, like I said, look at my SoundCloud, the one that says Upstairs Voice. That one came from that house in Warsaw.
Okay.
And it is a phenomenal one. You want me to go ahead and tell you what I got on it?
Sure.
Yep. Yeah, go for it.
All right. Well, when you first walk in the house, there's a stairway right in front of you at the foyer. It goes upstairs. You hit the top of the landing. It goes right and left off to two bedrooms. Well, directly behind you at that point is a big opening for the stairway, but it goes out and around it with a banister all the way around. Well, there's three windows right at the front. Well, as we pulled up to the property, there's three houses side by side, or four houses. Well, Graham was actually driving. He was slowing down. I'm in the passenger seat, and I'm looking out, and I'm going, there's somebody looking out at us from that upstairs left window. And he's like, really? Well, that's the house we're going to. And I'm like, oh, sweet. When we get there. And, you know, I didn't even know which damn house we're going to. We get there, and one of the first things I wanted to do was set a recorder at the top of the steps. Because, you know, I saw this man looking out the upstairs window at us. Well, I walked to the top of the steps, and I turned around to the window where I saw him looking out the curtains, and I'm like, there's no fucking way there was somebody standing there. And I've got it on video from later on. One of my investigators was over in that area. It's like three boxes deep against the wall under the windows and about 4 feet tall, stacked up boxes. They've turned it into storage. There's no way to get to that window.
Crazy.
I set the recorder up there, go back down the steps, around the corner to the right, through the living room, into the dining room, and we're setting up all the equipment on the table, and the homeowner starts asking, you know, well, what's this and what's that? So I just started going down the line explaining what each piece of equipment was for. And I've got the voice that came on that recorder was an older male, kind of gruff voice, and he's like, paced speech. And it is probably one of the best EVPs I've caught. And it says, what are they doing? I don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
There were two older women that lived in the house. There were no men in the house.
That's pretty crazy.
But that one was pretty incredible. I mean, it actually, I think I've got it uploaded to SoundCloud on MP3 and I think that one's actually uploaded in MP3 and Wave, and one or the other is better sounding than the other. And you can actually pull it out so much better. But
yeah.
Listen to it both ways, and you'll be impressed.
It's almost as clear as Oscar Them Alive.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's crazy. That's going to haunt me tonight.
Yeah, that... I've seen you alive is incredible.
Yeah, that was crazy. All right, guys, I got to jump. My friend's about to die anyway. It was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And
so
I think
much
we're going to lose power because my light keeps flickering. So I don't know if it's windy outside or not.
Nah, you just got paranoid, Michael.
No.
But
no, not before I go to bed.
Good night, Rhonda. I'll
see
you in your dreams.
Hey, Dennis, play a little Freddy for her before she goes to bed.
Freddy doesn't bother me. Freddy doesn't bother me at all. But that shit's crazy.
Yeah, you'll love this. We actually ran into a guy. We went up to Parafest in Pennsylvania beginning of September. And this dude did awesome, but listen to this one. I think, now, just before going to bed, Rhonda, you'll love to hear this.
Getting nightmares? Then you're not listening to Full Spectrum Radio, the best radio on the planet.
All right, yeah, y'all officially suck now. I am going to bed.
Hey, I'll give you one, Rhonda. When you get a chance, go to our site and listen to the one that says EVP. It says I'm Washington.
Okay. Will do. Do I want to?
It was good talking to you, though.
It was good talking to y'all. Okay, I'm out, and I will probably have to go downstairs and watch, like little fluffy kittens or something before I go to bed.
Oh, pretty good.
Good night, Rhonda.
See, I'm a really good ghost investigator, aren't I? See, the ghosts don't scare me. It's like people know that they can fuck with me. And people get on the walkie-talkies in the middle of an investigation, and I hear my name being whispered constantly, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, oh, fuck.
I go, Rhonda.
Yeah.
Well, hey, at least Freddie doesn't say your name in the middle of an investigation.
No, he just comes in my fucking dreams. No, that's it. I'm out. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rhonda. Have a great night.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna head out too. I gotta get up early in the morning, but I appreciate it, guys.
No problem at all.
And you guys are welcome anytime. Sorry if I hit you with a little bit harder, non-orthodox questions earlier.
Bring it.
Well, look at it this way, and I hope you feel the same way. And since this is on archive, do you seriously get sick of being asked the same fucking questions?
That's something that we put forth when we investigate. I like to remind everybody, you know, when you go to investigate, you know, and especially you go to somewhere that you know other people investigated, I guarantee you those questions, you know, who are you? What are you doing here? Why are you here? You know, that's just, people have asked that, you know. Why do you want to answer the same damn thing over and over again? You got to be creative.
Creative, you get to learn the history.
I completely agree with that because Dennis and I had a conversation about 2-3 months ago, something like that, to where we were talking about it. I changed my whole line of questioning for an EVP session. If I walked up to you face-to-face and said, are you here with us? Is there anything that you can do? And, obviously I can't see you if you're a spirit, but you're standing right in front of me, you'd be like, fuck you, dude, I'm right here. Same thing as if I walked up to Dennis and been like, hey, Dennis, are you here? Can you talk to me? Is there anything you can do? You'd be like, well, yeah, fuckhead, I'm right here. I can't, is there anything you want to say? Well, yeah, just ask me a question. Like, are you stupid? So, but it comes down to human, like, it really comes down to human nature. Demons, quote unquote, are extremely, extremely, extremely few and far between. So, like Christina said, if you're a dickhead in life, you're a dickhead in death. And even if somebody's not being a dickhead, they're going to perceive an EVP, Team XYZ, they're going to perceive a gruff voice on an EVP as, oh, it's demonic.
Yeah.
And those are the fuckers that should not be in a household. They should not be in a home.
I agree.
Yeah, no doubt.
I keep going across this shit more and more to where I'm cleaning up people's messes to where they didn't even want to make another phone call because of how negative of an experience they had before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people, you know, want to believe in something. And when you have a group of people go in and say, oh, yeah, that's really nasty, that's demonic, it's going to be really hard to change their opinion because somebody's already given them that mindset.
You're swimming against the current at that point.
Yeah. Exactly, and it's really a he says, she says type of thing, and that's
exactly.
Well,
the last thing that
right.
You said it was demonic. What makes you think it's not? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're perfect, but it makes it hard to counter it. But yeah, definitely appreciate you joining us, Steve. It's been a pretty damn good conversation. And by all means, you've got my number. Don't lose it. Anything I can do to help you out personally or transcend, don't hesitate to give me a buzz.
All right. Well, same goes to you guys. We appreciated it, and we had fun.
Yeah, definitely. I've got a good feeling I'm going to show up for things that go bump in the night.
All right. Well, let me know. Now, Friday night, we're probably staying the night, so you guys are welcome to bring your gear and stick around a little bit later if you want.
Well,
that's a possibility.
That's pretty much a no-go on my part. Because I have about 11, I'm about 1,100 miles away from you right now.
Oh, you can make
it.
Just start driving now.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Like I said, Matt's actually in Chicago, so he wouldn't be joining us.
Yeah, you pay my fuel bill, and I'll be there.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
By the way, my Jeep gets, like, at the most 14 miles to the gallon on the highway. So, be prepared.
Yeah, there's a good likelihood. I might grab... Now, as we discovered as the conversation went on, Rhonda being Leanne's cousin, Leanne's husband is on my team. I might see if he wants to come hang out. So
yeah,
it's possible. If he doesn't have to work, which I'm not sure if you know what he does or not.
I don't know.
I'm supposed to keep it on the DL as far as what department, but he's a police officer.
Okay.
That's why I made it, you know, it was such a cool experience to watch, you know, in my description, you know, three guys that do that line of work. I've got three police officers on my team. So I've got a total of 5 members on my team. 3 of them are cops. And to get a cop looking at the recorder, big eye going, what the fuck was that? Yeah. That'll do it. And Graham has like 18 years, I think, and he was the one that was in that location with me when we heard the disembodied voice, and we had done a full sweep of the building, so we know nobody was in there. And then after the full sweep, you know, we turned off the lights and went and did our thing, and you know, that was like the second time at that same location that I had actually heard a disembodied male voice. And I mean, it was crystal clear. It sounded like somebody 10, 15 feet away from us actually speak. I didn't make out what it was. And the weird thing, I'm standing there with an H4 in the hallway and it didn't pick it up, but you can hear our reactions to it right away. I'm like, what the hell? Now, why didn't the H4 pick it up?
Interesting.
But
how far down 360 was that?
Well, that location is not off 360.
Okay, so it's off, but off.
Yeah, that one's, I've got to keep it quiet as to what it is. I can't make it, you know, publicly known.
Oh, no,
but,
no, I see that way. Yeah. I just know Warsaw. I was just asking what location around that area. Because he's got, yeah. He got the thing out there, and then of course, if you take that left from Centerville, you can go, or in the center of town, you're heading towards Westmoreland. So, you know, my preacher is out that way, too, Tizzy Von Trapp.
Right.
So.
Well, but can I interject for a moment?
I suppose.
Howard, yeah. It seems like you've been trying to say something for a while.
Oh, no, not me. No, I'm good, bro. I'm listening.
Oh, I was going to say, I kept hearing, like somebody trying to, like, cut in or whatever, and no, it wasn't the EP.
But yeah, no, I heard that, too. It wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
Sorry, guys. Wasn't me.
No, Dennis, you know what? Dennis, let them know about the archive that we had a complete what-the-fuck moment.
Oh, yeah.
For the
we
full
had,
hour of archive.
Yeah, for a full hour of archive. We had two ladies that were on the program with us. I'm trying to think of their names right now. They were authors that had joined together and written a book.
That was Kim?
That's right.
Kim?
Yeah, Kim Brulette and... God, who was the other one on with her? At any rate, at the end of the program, Karen.
Yeah, okay.
Karen Van Hammond.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the program, we're sitting back shooting the shit like we are, and we just keep hearing voices. And we're like, well, okay, now who? Has somebody got people talking in the background? Not one of us have anybody in the background for a full hour, to the point that Matt was actually running the board. And if, you know, as you noticed earlier, Howard, once I unmuted you, we could hear you. Otherwise, we couldn't. Matt literally muted everybody on the phone call, all four of us, and we could still hear voices talking. Then he would mute one, unmute the others. And then, you know, I mean, cycled through for an hour. And a couple of times we could hear Karen's voice get called out. I mean, it's all in archive, and it. I swear to God, we had an EVP session for an hour on the phone with the four of us.
That's crazy.
It was the strangest thing.
It's not a joke. Like, and so I started going through all this mental shit to where I was like, all right, well, okay, if it was FM radio, crossfeed. Like, that makes sense. Or if it was somebody's cell phone. But if I mute everybody, there isn't shit coming through. There's no crossfeed, there's no cross-channel when it comes to internet radio.
Yeah.
It was fucking voices.
It's crazy. All right, guys. Well, I have got the jet. Like I said, it was a pleasure, and you know, I'll be checking in. So I'll chat to you guys later.
All right, sounds great. We appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for joining us tonight, brother.
Thank you. Have a good one, guys.
All right, bud. You do the same.
Nice.
And on that note, Howard, I appreciate you joining in with us, brother. At some point in time, I want to drop you a message here with my phone number. If there's anything I can do to help. All seeing, let me know, brother.
Oh, it sounds like a plan. I'll do the same. I'm about to drop you in one of the groups that me and Steve are in anyway, so be looking for that.
All right. Yeah, it sounds good, man. I'll be here. Just tag that and, you know, let me know, brother. I'll be around.
Sounds great, guys. I appreciate y'all letting me in on that.
Oh, no problem, man. I just thought it'd be entertaining to bring in another investigator and get some more stories on the round table.
Yeah. I like the round table idea, man. It's great. Hey, Matt, before y'all go, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and also if you want, you know, time to talk about any of your stuff, we got shows open. We do this shit every Monday and Wednesday, so.
I might take you up on that.
And by all means, brother, we'll be available.
Okay. Matt, you said you're in Chicago?
Yeah.
How far are you from Ottawa?
From Ottawa, Illinois?
Yeah.
Not all that far, maybe like 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, that's where my wife's from.
What do you got?
Huh?
No, I said, what do you got? Like, is there somewhere there in particular that, or are you just saying you're right from Ottawa?
No. My wife's from Ottawa.
No, I know that. I was asking if there was a haunted place that I should check out in Ottawa.
No. Or just connecting the two. Just connecting the two, that's all.
Oh, yeah, no.
I know about the cemetery out there, but, you know, that she didn't tell me anything else but the cemetery. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. The cemetery where the pictures are all from all over the Internet. Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's Bachelor's Grove. There's Robinson Woods. There's, you know, so many that are notorious out here that, it's the problem is with all the cemeteries around here, you can't get in after dark.
Yeah.
If there's one in Ottawa that's worth checking out, then yeah, I mean, definitely.
All right, I'll talk to her. I'll let you know. She said there is one that was out there that, you know, back then, back in the 70s, and, you know, she hadn't been back since. So I was like, well, you know, it's worth checking out. You know, go back home. We'll see. So. But, yeah, guys, again, I really do appreciate you letting me come on and talk with you guys, and I look forward to meeting up at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you going to go to Henricus?
Yes, I will definitely be at Henricus. Me and my historian Ryan are going to be out there.
All right, yeah, look for me there. I don't have team shirts or anything, but... Yeah, I'll make sure to find you. Just look for a tall, skinny dude.
Yeah, look for the short, bald guy.
All right, yeah, I think we've got it narrowed down. I'll probably know
exactly
which one you are.
Yeah, the one with
brother.
All right, guys.
We
appreciate
night.
You.
All right,
thanks for listening in, Howard. You have a great night, brother.
Y'all too. You're welcome.
All right. Well, folks, that's another interesting night of Full Spectrum Radio. Got to listen to a team that's local here to the Richmond area, being Transcend Paranormal. Had Steve and Rhonda joining us on that. Afterwards, when we went to Archive, Howard joined us from All Seeing Paranormal, which is, ironically, another local team here in the Richmond area. So hopefully we gave you some good insight, gave you a couple of good stories on some of the shit that we've seen and heard. We appreciate you joining in on Full Spectrum Radio.
All right, play us out with some little FSR misguided ghosts. I think it's fitting.
I think so, because we're definitely misguided. So I think that sounds good. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want, you're more than welcome to check out Matt and I on Facebook and Twitter both. We're at CPR Matt and CPR Dennis. You can also check out Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers on Facebook and .com. We appreciate you listening in. Thanks, folks.
I'm trying to by a broken heart, twisted mind, so I can find someone to rely on and run to them, to them. Full speed ahead, oh, you are.